This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. For those of you who would like to contact me again, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We will also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. You can also contact me if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. You'll need to send me your name and address so I can send it on to them. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, this being the last Sunday in September, it seems that we've gone through another summer rather quickly. There's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of calamities, but there's been a lot of joy associated with summers. Many of us have enjoyed the summer, even though it's been hot. Now it's gotten cool. But according to the calendar, we have now reached what we would call fall. And so we have gone through the growing season, and we're now coming to the reaping season. And from the standpoint of life, we think of spring as being really those years when we're most associated with our youth, and we think of summer as being those years most associated with our early adulthood as we produce our own families and make progress at our own businesses. And then we think of fall as being our retirement years, and then we think of winter as being old age. And so we have really come to the end of summer from the standpoint of the calendar. I trust that none of us have really come to the end of summer from the standpoint of our productive work for Christ. But nevertheless, as we come to the end of summer, I've been thinking of some verses that I often heard in my youth that I don't hear preached very often anymore. And the first one is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. The verse says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw nigh when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" We know that many of our children go through a period of time when they could be using their youth for the Lord, but instead they use their youth for self. And they go over what we call, or my father used to call, Fool's Hill. From the ages of about 18 to 25, many of them try things that really harm them for the rest of their life. They try the things of the world, and I'm not going to go through them. But in a sense, they sow their wild oats, or sometimes it says they go out and just sort of try what they think will be fun. Many people I've talked to that are older and that never went through that sometimes feel like they missed out because they didn't go out and sow their wild oats and then go in later years have to settle up for what they did in those years. But the Bible says that it's in the days of your youth when you should remember the Lord, before the difficult days come. And so I've been thinking a lot about that, because we know that most people who come to faith in the Lord Jesus come to faith before the age of 20 or 21. We find that one of the most effective times to reach people for Christ is in their early years, perhaps in the years that from 9 through 11, 12, and 13, when we work in junior camps. Often we find that those are the years when kids are most open to the gospel. And the Lord doesn't want us to dissipate our youth on wild living. He wants us to use our youth to enjoy and glorify Him. And children of that age are old enough to understand the nature of sin. They're old enough to understand the reality of problems in life and the reality of eternity and the reality of death. They're old enough to understand these things. And so it's in those years before they have been jaded by some of our educational systems and their friends and TV that they are most open to receiving the Lord Jesus as their own Savior. And it's in those years that they often can enter into the truth of John 3:16. And many of them go back to John 3:16 and point out that that's the verse that opened their eyes to the truth, that Christ was their Savior and had died for them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many people, when they're young, think, well, when I'm older, that's when I'll want to be saved. That's when I'll want to think about my eternal salvation. And if Satan can get us to put this matter of our soul salvation off just one day at a time, he's really got us, because he'll get us to put it off until we reach our deathbeds. And on our deathbeds, we'll be so occupied with pain and suffering and end-of-life issues that it's unlikely our minds will be clear enough to concentrate on the truth of our need of a Savior. Now, we do see people who come to faith on their deathbeds, and we are glad for that. But what a waste it is to be born again and become a child of God a few days or perhaps moments before you go into eternity and not have a life to live for Christ, to glorify him. And so we are to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And it seems like we have lost sight in many cases of that fact. We prime our youth for social things. We want them to be accepted in school. We want them to excel in sports. We want them to get a good education. And I hope we are considering the fact that each of our children, each of the young people we know, are individuals with souls that are going to exist for eternity in either a place called heaven because they have come to know the Lord and to trust him, or in a place called hell because they have turned their back upon him and have rejected him. And I know each person is personally responsible for that, but we as parents, we as Sunday school teachers, we as religious leaders can make the environment conducive to believing in Christ. We can certainly help them and not hinder them. We don't want our children to be like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. We know that in Luke 15, we read there was a certain man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He was wasting his substance. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now, oftentimes, that's the way young people want to live. Give me what belongs to me. They live for self. They have friends as long as they have money, and they want to, as the world says, have fun. I am not against having fun, but fun is not the reason we were brought into this world. The reason we were brought into this world was to glorify God. And the reason we were brought into this world is so that we could come to know him and be, as sinners, be born again and be made new creatures in Christ. This son who went into the far country, who went away from God, who destroyed his life with riotous living, with he was a spendthrift. When he did all of that, he got to the bottom, and as a Jewish lad, he began to feed pigs for a boss, and he realized that he had really put himself in bondage. He had not been free, because we're told that we're either in bondage to sin or we're bond slaves of the Lord, and as bond slaves of the Lord, we're free to serve him in a righteous way. We become bond slaves of the Lord when we trust him, and we're free to serve him in a righteous, devotional way. But the bond slaves of Satan, they're brought under a burden of sin that can destroy them mentally, physically, and emotionally. And so when he came to himself, that is when he repented and realized he had done wrong, he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Now this young lad, even though he had not done what the preacher advised in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, where it says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Even though he had violated that command, he had been brought down through trial, through his riotous living, to understand that what he was doing was wrong. It was a waste. It had brought him into bondage. And it, notice, is the passage says he came to himself. That just simply means he was thinking wrong before this, and now he's thinking right. He had been out of his mind. He had been really a lunatic in thinking that pleasure was all this life was all about. And so now he realizes he has no right to the Father's house, and the Father's house here is a picture, of course, of the blessings of heaven. And he has no right to the Father's house, and he throws him on the mercy of his Father. And if you read the story, it's a beautiful story, because the Father receives him with open arms, and he kisses him, and he puts a robe on him, and shoes on his feet, and a ring on his finger, and he kills for him the fatted calf. The Father wanted him to come back. So even if someone is listening to me today, and you have wasted your substance with riotous living, even if you have turned your back upon God to this point, if you can see the bondage that it has brought you into, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. All of us as sinners deserve the punishment, eternal conscious punishment of hell throughout the endless ages of eternity. It's really hell in the lake of fire, but we won't go into the difference between the two. But there is eternal conscious punishment, wrath on the part of God when we, as sinners, reject the Savior of sinners, the gift of God's love, His Son. When we reject that, there is wrath on the part of God. And so this young lad, he comes back to the Father. He throws himself on the mercy of the Father, and the Father doesn't give him what he deserves. He gives him what he doesn't deserve. He gives him a gift. He gives him his love. And, of course, we say that it's mercy and it's grace. Grace is the getting what we do not deserve. It's a gift, and this son was given the gift of the blessings of the Father's house. And when we trust in Christ, we're given the gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin, this young fellow found this out, the wages of sin is death, it's separation. But the gift, the grace of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I hope that you've trusted in Him. Now, there's another verse we sometimes sing. Sometimes are reminded of this time of the year, and it's in Jeremiah, where it says, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved." And so as we come to the end of this summer season and go into the fall season, I hope this is not said of someone in my audience. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved, because you can be saved today. Just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him, and your sins will be forgiven. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for Thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. If there's those who are unsaved, reach them for Thine honor and for Thy glory, that they might know their sins forgiven and that they might enjoy the blessings of the Father's house. We ask these mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.